I've been waiting here.
I was just told
for 10 minutes,
passive aggressive way. Let me tell you, I waited on you for a fucking hour, so I'm gonna ask you to be quiet.
I've been found guilty.
He's guilty, y'all. Love after maca.
Of love in the first degree. But I don't mind.
Mm-mm, sure don't.
As long as you're here with me. A judge and the jury. When they heard my plea. You know they sent me up the river.
Straight up that brick wall, gay up.
They put the blame on me. Lock me up, throw away the key. I'm just a prisoner of love. I'm doing time, I'm doing fine. I'm just a prisoner of love.
Love after lockup, y'all.
Watch it, y'all. Those little Debbie cakes, they go everywhere.
Nothing like a jumpsuit.
I know, but it's true. We logged in, and then people's like, how are you? And I said, I'm good. How are you? And we're chatting, catching up. And then he's like, hold on, I have to poop. And then he comes back. He's like, just kidding. I don't think I have to poop. And then he's like, I'm hot. Oh, I'm cold. Oh, I'm hot. This is shawl weather. And then he says, I can't get comfortable.
All of that took maybe 10 minutes of the hour that you pushed me. So yeah. I refuse to accede to your insults.
We better hire a really good, like, very stern lesbian stage manager.
I know. Someone needs to wrangle us.
When we go on live shows, we're not going to start till, like, we're going to be on Mariah Carey time if someone's not there for us.
Or at least, like, a really butch straight woman.
Yeah,
something who we're afraid of.
Kind of like Jackie.
She's not really butch, though. She's just really, really, really opinionated.
But we're afraid of her.
In a good way. I am.
Because she's very opinionated, and she's very intelligent, and she's usually right.
That's the truth.
That's what we should call her, Den Mother Wrangler.
That doesn't make sense.
Doesn't.
This is reality gaze. This is Lalu. This is Lalu. It's
reality gaze. Don't do meth. Don't do meth, y'all.
This whole series is a commercial for not doing drugs.
Boy.
So question. This episode's called Payback is a Snitch.
Payback is a Snitch. This is technically season 3, episode 27.
Episode Beta Theta.
Exactly.
Yeah, because it says 27, and there's no way this season's been going on for 27 episodes. I don't know what's going on.
No, it has. This is the 27th episode of this season. So I guess normal episodes are like 24 seasons, so that's why they're saying this season on, but just call it season 4. I don't understand this.
Yeah, there was a whole, was it last week or the week before, where it's all like, this season on, I'm like, did we end something?
Last week, yeah. I mean, you could, even if they took 1 week off, there's something like building, like when you say, on the finale, everybody's like, ooh, the finale, but no.
It felt like, those long, like 3 hour movies when you're just like, God, I've got to fucking pee. And then it's like Dances with Wolves. Remember how long Dances with Wolves was? And you're like, there's another battle.
I haven't seen that movie yet.
How is that possible? Everyone in the world saw that movie at the same time and everyone shared an experience.
Maybe I did. It's just been a lot. I don't remember it, but maybe I did. But I saw it like 2 years ago. I borrowed a DVD from somebody.
Listen, this is when everyone saw that movie is when everyone saw all the same movies. When movies were cultural touchstones and we all talked about the same movie at the fucking water cooler. How were you the only person who did not see that movie?
Well, I was young. I was in elementary school.
No.
You know, I just
was boring. You know what? That movie was in the 90s. That movie was in the 90s.
Hey Siri, what year did Dances with Wolves come out?
Dances with Wolves was released the 18th of May, 1991.
Okay, 1991. Okay, yeah. So
you were in middle school, but everyone saw it.
Fifth grade.
Technically, middle school. Everyone saw it.
Maybe third grade.
No. You know what? Let's see.
I was in utero.
18 months younger than me, y'all. So remember when he tries to make me sound older, like he doesn't understand my generational expressions.
I was in middle school and I was doing very important thing. I was designing our show choir outfits for Hot, Hot, Hot. I had no time for Dancing with Wolves.
I'm saying when you can say things like, I didn't see that movie, you had to actively avoid it. So, have you seen Dances with Wolves yet?
Whatever.
I saw it with my parents. I didn't see very many movies with my parents, but I remember seeing that movie with my parents.
You know, my parents weren't movie people. They didn't really go to the movies a lot.
Neither did mine, but we dragged my father to a movie because he loved Kevin Costner.
Oh, well, there you go.
That was when Kevin
do love Kevin Costner. Yeah. Remember that movie where Kevin Costner and Renee Russo are golfing?
No. You've seen movies like this.
What happened to Renee Russo? God, I loved her.
She was in a movie a while back. We need to move on. This has become so tiresome to me. I don't even know why we got here.
I think I was
talking about long, long episodes. Oh, I hate you.
Anyway, there is, you think they would do a season finale, but sadly they're not. I don't think we have any announcements. We just finished Bling Empire, y'all. So that is donezo, ready for you to binge.
And if you haven't, we're going to release an episode probably tomorrow, I think, with the effervescent, the legendary, queen of the children, Margaret Cho. We're talking about Bling Empire. We had a blast. It was really fun. We were nervous.
We were very nervous. We're working on it. If his people say yes, we're nervous. Kevin might be on our show.
I'm not nervous to talk to Kevin. I'll just think dirty thoughts about him.
No, I'm not nervous to talk to Kevin. I'm saying we were nervous about Margaret Cho. We are nervous that usually, y'all, this is a little thing that sometimes happens to us when we reach out to people and people say, yeah, that's great. I'd love to be on your show. Can you email my people, my PR people? And then we email the PR people and strangely, we never hear
from them again.
I think they listen to an episode and they say, no, not going on that show. Not happening.
That's way too, controversial.
They're like, dear reality gays, thank you so much for your interest in our client. At his bequest, we listened to parts of your show and sadly we're going to decline as the locomotive to girth train does not align with our client's values.
You know what, Kevin, you should be happy to get on the girth train.
You should. Everybody should.
It goes in the tunnel and sees what happens. All right, let's do this shit.
All right, so, payback is a snitch.
So we start with my girl, Destiny. And they have somehow managed to drag this same storyline out into four episodes.
Because, y'all, she breaks up with him, and she's probably going to go back to jail.
Yeah, almost certainly.
We don't know.
Their first season was so compelling with all the shit, but this life after lockup has been a shitty, shitty time for them. There's been almost nothing that happened.
I hope she doesn't go to jail because...
You want to watch her be crazy longer?
I want to watch her be crazy, but with another guy. Because you know there's
Of course. Yeah.
I can't wait for her to move on. But right now, y'all, she's at her sister Brittany's, and she's at court. She has court tomorrow, and she's stressed. And she's like, dude, I'm so stressed out.
And dude, I don't want to go to court. I just want to leave. I just want to leave it all behind.
Dude. I don't want to go back, dude. It's not fair.
I got stuff to do.
She says, I might get 7 years just for cutting off my ankle monitor and mailing it back to him. Dude.
I still say that's the most baller move I've ever heard.
Boss.
She's still saying things like, you know, I don't have to explain myself to him.
She said, I told Sean not to show up. But yeah, go ahead.
So I'm still confused about what Sean really lied about, that he was talking more often to the father of his children.
Yep.
And she immediately thought that was a betrayal and that he still wanted to fuck the father of his children. Not that a question of like, sure, I'll send money for Bobo's second grade graduation. You know,
yes, but think about this. I hate to say this, but Destiny's kind of right, because remember, wait, about Sean Lyon, who he is. How many children did he tell her he had?
No, you're right, but...
And what kind of person, and she even said this, and I think that's when she was like, done. What kind of person lies about their children? Literally the existence of their children. So he lied about that, and then he did say that he and Kelly don't ever hardly talk, and he still has not told her. Can you imagine what Destiny would say if she found out they fucked less than a year ago?
That's true. And what would happen if she knew that her money was the money she ate pizza with?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a hard time seeing it, but Destiny's got an addict at her brain is just like so flowing with like addict messages all over place.
I can't even look at a jar of hand sanitizer now and think I could put salt in that and drink it. I think it every day now.
So the only thing we need to know is Sean still has his $50,000 on the line that he just can't stop mentioning every scene he's in.
I'm going to go up there and see her because I want my $50,000. Meanwhile, Brittany, the very empathetic sister, says, look, if you go to jail, I'm going to have wrinkles by the time you get out. Is that what you want to do to me?
Then they pray.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe Destiny's found religion. And she's like, Heavenly Father, dude, really give me the strength to decide what I need to do. I kind of want to run because I'm really busy right now. And I got a lot of stuff to do, Heavenly Father. So, you know, just give me a sign and like bless my decision making to tell me what to do. Okay. It was the weirdest prayer.
Don't wait too long, Jesus. I'm busy. It was the weirdest prayer. And also
weird.
Y'all, it cracks me up when people like this are horrible, manipulative people. And then they're like, but Jesus works for me.
Yeah. I mean, good for you. I'm sure that helps her somehow. But, and, you know, who am I to judge? I think Jesus kind of needs a commitment all the time.
A little possibly. Bit. I think, or at least that you're still treating people decently while you're praying to him to not send you back to jail.
Yeah. So, basically...
Brittany's scared. She thinks she's going to run, and they're building up this episode that she might
gonna
run.
She's going to run. She's going
to
run.
Ready to run, dude.
And Brittany's like, so you're going to be here in the morning, right? And Destiny's like, I don't know. I'll have to see. I have to just figure it out. I don't know how I'm going to feel.
I'm shutting the door because I'm busy. Sorry, I love that. You look like dude, and I just look saying, I'm busy.
I was busy. So the next morning, guess what? We're at the court. Destiny took off in the middle of the night somewhere, and she's on the road.
She's on the road to court. They're just delaying it. Y'all, she's going to court. She's going to court.
So it's the same exact beat as before. They're at the courthouse. Yes.
And Sean is calling her. The phone says, oddly enough, my girl.
Sean is on the way. He's on the way to the courthouse. And Destiny's in the car. We don't know if she's on the way to court. We probably think she is.
She is. I think she is.
And she's still saying, I don't need to explain myself to anyone except for your husband and the court system. That you kind of do. You have a legal obligation to do that, or they'll put you back in jail, honey.
Y'all, we know that this is going to carry out because this isn't giving anything away, but it said this season on Life After Lockup, we see... Well, they might tease us, but we see that Destiny is married and has a ring on it. But you know what? I realized they didn't say it was with Sean.
That's true.
Maybe.
That's true. So Sean pulls up and the sister's like, what the fuck is he doing here? He's got his $50,000 to worry about. That's what he's doing here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So y'all, honestly, I've just got to say, I'm a huge fan of Destiny. It was really rough to find out what about her being basically raped and molested by her uncle, yes. Trigger warning, in the last episode.
I'm glad you said the trigger warning after they're already in the fetal position and just ran out there.
Oh, God! I'm sorry.
What? That's not how trigger warnings work, Poodle. Jesus.
You know what? People need a trigger warning for every time I speak. So
fair.
I've just been honestly super disappointed by their storyline this season so far. It's just been nothing.
It could have been done in 3 episodes.
Yeah. Speaking of someone's storyline who is disappointing, Andrea
and Tweedledum. I've decided that's
Tweedledum. Tweedledum and Tweedledum.
Tweedledum and Tweedle idiot. Y'all, okay, so Andrea's leaving the hotel and she's like, I'm ready. I'm focused. I'm ready to talk to him. I didn't sleep all night. And she's like, I'm going to go and talk to him. It's all going to be. And her thing is, she's like, I know I'm dramatic, but I feel like with Shantae, she blames me for all the bad stuff in her and her dad's relationship. She thinks I'm the issue. And she's like, I guess saying that she's a trigger for her.
And this could all be kind of worked out by getting Andrea and Shantae in a room before this ever happened, which there was a little bit of, we saw a clip of that they did not have a good relationship, but just to tell someone or to not let your husband see his daughter or really talk to his daughter, mm-hmm. or even, and even worse, mm-hmm. to keep them away from your family and half siblings is even worse than in way than what he did.
That you're right. They just need to tell him.
Yeah. So as she's
I'm scared, so afraid to show I care.
Anyway, I did like
him. You know what? I can't sing this song right now because Poodle sings it with me in harmony. It's just not fair.
Can't do it. Thank you.
I'm in Oklahoma and he's in Los Angeles.
And your voice sounds raspy, so I'd rather you not do that. I don't want us to do substandard work.
Maybe it's just not getting comfortable yet. Give me 15 minutes.
What do you mean?
Exactly. So Lamar went out and got her flowers from Walmart. And brings
I think these are Pavilion's flowers. They're a step up.
They're the ones on sale that are a day old, though.
Yeah, not definitely.
And so he apologizes and he said, I shouldn't have told Priscilla to keep a secret from you. True.
I like it when he gives her flowers and then she says, interesting.
Interesting.
like it's going to be followed up by something interesting. You bring me flowers after lying to me. No, she just says, interesting.
Y'all, nothing is interesting about Lamar.
No, that is the truth. Thank
maybe
you.
Maybe one thing.
I don't even know.
I know I'm thrown off because he's so dumb.
Yeah. He's like, are you mad about the secret that I made Priscilla keep or Shantae or me taking her to see her sister? And she's like, I'm actually disappointed I wasn't a part of meeting your sister. And I'm like, that is garbage. That is such garbage. Yeah. You are upset about the secret. You're upset that you don't have control over him taking your child to meet someone who you would rather her not meet.
She is upset about. She is upset about that. And she does have a right, though. The thing I would be most upset about this whole thing is that you told my child to lie to me. That's the thing I would be most upset about.
That's terrible. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying her excuse about it, she's trying to sound reasonable and it just shines through.
Yeah.
So he says, Lamar suggests, well, why don't you? She's like, maybe it's in your head that Shantae blames you for everything, for not having enough time with me. And she says, well, Andrea says, I'll try to keep an open mind. Your mind's pretty open. There's not a lot there. No. But I'll try to keep an open mind. So I have a feeling in subsequent episodes, we're going to see a meeting with Shantae and Andrea. And I'm sure it will be as reasonable as everyone expects.
Again, this episode was kind of slow because it was all, let's talk about what we're going to do filler. Next episode.
Filler
episode, y'all.
Boo.
Boo.
So later
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say,
later on, Lamar says, I'll never make Priscilla keep a secret again. And Lamar even apologizes to Priscilla about making her keep it, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because Priscilla's the one who felt the biggest shame about this.
Yes.
And then Priscilla basically says, I just want us to be a happy family. And then they do a freestyle rap about it.
I mean, that was cute.
It was bad.
It wasn't a good rap, but that's his business.
Children are not really good at coming up with freestyle raps.
I mean, when you think
in general.
But when you think about it, she did that. I don't know if we could have done that when we were younger. Hell, I don't think we could do that now. And also, have you listened to our Too Hot to Handle or our Bling Empire episode of us rap, our theme song of us rapping?
I'm not bad. People have been very, very congratulatory to me.
We better talk about Scott.
Yeah, this is very, very short too.
This was short, but powerful, y'all. Because I'm telling you,
like that, like
I think
the
Lindsay,
Latin guy Jose's dick.
Exactly, short but powerful. I think Lindsay is basically. I think she's an extra from The Craft. I think she's another witch. Oh.
Her anger basically started a thunderstorm.
That's what I'm saying. When she's like, did it, and it's thundered, and I went, whoa. You fuck, Scott. You in danger, angel girl.
Well, and she enjoys this. She enjoys being on camera and being kind of a super villain. She enjoys this because
she's auditioning for a Disney villain.
Yeah, she honestly the problem with her the problem in her, why this happens is she has she doesn't have a lot of agency in her life. And she desperately needs to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way she's going to be happy when she's manipulating people.
And she's probably still on drugs.
Probably. But I'm saying there's a lack of agency. And for someone who's like her, who's probably, you guys, we've said this before. This is someone, you know, we say so a lot of people have sociopathic tendencies. This is a sociopath.
A narcissistic sociopath.
She needs to be in jail. She's not going to be rehabilitated. That you can't fix people like her.
True sociopaths usually never are, sadly.
Yeah. So
lock her up, throw away the key. Ooh.
She's just a prisoner of love. So Scott's just sitting there reading the book he threw at her.
Reading the book, and she's like, I'm leaving. He's like, that's why she's going to be back in prison one day. And Scott says, this is by far the most toxic relationship I've ever been in. I almost would have appreciated more if Scott said, this is almost as bad as a relationship I was in before. And I would have said, we need to rewind that, because I bet you Scott's been in them.
The fact that he even needed to compare a relationship to this one.
You're like, whoa.
Yeah, what were number two and three?
Yeah, like, what the fuck, Scott?
I need to see runners up.
I need to know. Lindsay's on the phone. Who's she on the phone with?
It said her friend. I kind of missed it because it was some guy. And she's like, I need you to bring me a lock. You need to bring me a lock because I need to lock my door against Scott.
I've got renter's rights. I've got renter's rights. There are rights in Mississippi, and he's violating my right as a tenant. And I want to say, honey, a tenant is paying rent.
I was going to say, you ain't paying your rent, girl.
Are you paying anything?
Honestly, by law, if his name is on the lease, they can escort her the fuck out of there, especially if she is on parole.
Exactly.
She's kind of an idiot because she should be so careful about what she's doing or she's going to go right the fuck back to jail.
Yes. He could make one call and she
narcissists don't see that. They're just like,
they don't see the fault in themselves. Scott's like, I just wanted to leave. And look, I cut to Lindsay again, sitting in that truck. She's like, listen, hurry. And then that's when she's like, kind of says to the camera, and it's dark, dark foreboding clouds behind her. And she says, I'm not going to leave. I'm not leaving. Not me and my daughter. This is my house. We're staying here. I can bring on whoever I want.
And she's like, this is a chess game. And I've been thinking five moves ahead.
Y'all, literally, that she said, I've been thinking five moves ahead since we started playing. And then it just thunder rolls like yep. Garth Brooks. And then she says, and there are consequences for my rules. There and... And she thunder again, and then she hair flips and looks to the side. And I wrote in here on all caps, she's literally a Disney villain.
But the thing here, you have to also remember, yes, she's distressed, but she's loving this because this is just white hot rage for her, and it feels good.
This is when she feels the most alive.
Yeah. It's not doing drugs. It's kind of being in charge and getting revenge on people.
Yes.
It's because she's very hurt. Somehow, yes. Something's happened. She's very hurt for what's been happened to her. And this is the way she reacts. And this is how she acts out. Yep. This person cannot be vulnerable.
No.
It's impossible.
No. Everything's game. Everything's acted.
Yep. Yep. I agree. Let's move on to Chevelle and Quaylen.
Or as we like to call Chevelle and the black man, Forrest Gump, traveling across the country, gonna find that woman, doesn't know where she is, but we're going to Branson.
Chevelle, I'm gonna find you. I'm just gonna carry my suitcase everywhere.
I'm gonna roll the Samsonite everywhere.
I'm gonna ask the lady at the hotel where the Ferris wheel is.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was also the most produced and scripted stakes.
For sure. But what happened is, so Chevelle is with D-Mark. Oh, God.
D-Mark looks good. Oh, I got to say, in that shirt and hat.
I need to message him and say, please bring back your OnlyFans. I was a big fan.
You have no idea how creepy that sounds.
That would maybe be creepy. He looked good. They're in Branson.
Did you know that Quaylen's like, what's in Branson? What? I've never even heard of Branson. Remind me to buy you an Atlas, honey.
Yeah. And so Quaylen's like, I'm going to figure this out. So he calls Myla, who we've never seen talk to
Apparently she has a phone.
But apparently she has a phone, I guess. And so she's talking. And he's like, baby, what's in the background? She's like, a Ferris wheel.
He's like, hey. She's like, hey, daddy. D-Mark doesn't even really pay attention. He's just like he's like playing Candy Crush or something.
Yeah, he's trying to get some pussy. He's on like whatever straight people do, like Tumblr.
He's on Tinder or Tumblr. Tumblr's gone.
Oh, whatever. I don't know what he's on.
Boober.
Boober.
B-O-O-B-R.
Yeah.
This is the site for only straight men who want to fuck women between the titties.
Yep. Boober. Because y'all, he's into that. I've seen his OnlyFans.
He's into boober.
Boober. So anyway,
y'all come at us if boober exists. B-O-O-B-R.
We'll start an app if not.
I swear to God, if someone steals that idea, I will sue the fuck out of you.
He won't. He won't. Because he has to pay an attorney.
I know. I don't want to do that.
He's like, I'm not paying you. I'm busy. So Quaylen goes and talks to the tourism people at some Branson place.
Some hotel. And he's just dragging his suitcase.
Not wearing a mask, mind you. That woman is.
Now, I want to point out how sketchy as fuck this is. That Quaylen, someone this woman has never known, walks in and says, hey, is there a Ferris wheel around here? Because, you know, I want to see, because my girlfriend doesn't know I'm here. You know, we're not too great right now. You know what I mean? But I know if I see her / stalk her, I know she will understand my point of view. And the woman's like, sure, it's right over there.
Right over there. Well, Cara, I just told her where the Ferris wheel was. What do you think I am?
Y'all, if you're working, in, if you're working in tourism and someone tells you that the girlfriend, that he just showed up with a suitcase.
With a suitcase.
And you haven't been getting along too well. Don't tell him a fucking thing about where she is. Make up an excuse.
Also,
that's sketch.
That's sketchy. And also, I was just worried for him in general, because I thought a black man does not need to be walking down the streets of Branson, Missouri, carrying a suitcase. This is not a safe space.
I kind of agree. I imagine Branson's pretty white, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
This is obviously not the theater strip. Maria Osmond is not near the Ferris wheel.
No, not at all.
The Vyakov Smirnov meeting hall is way away from this.
Yes.
Dino playing piano is way down the road. Yo, if you have Google Dino.
Google Dino. Now, this is saying that, boy, this can't be right, but I guess it is. I guess because it's such a tourist. It says the population of as of July 1st of 2019 of Branson. Well, this cannot be right, but Branson City. Or is it called Branson City or Branson?
I don't know. I think it's probably the same thing. Branson is kind of like the idea of Branson. Branson is kind of like the concept.
Oh, no, I got the right one. So the population is about, it's still not a big town, y'all. It's 56,000 people. That's not a lot at all. And of that, this is crazy. This is of that, like 4.89% of people there are black. So, yeah, he doesn't need to be walking around. He doesn't need to be walking around Branson. I'm nervous.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine. He has a film crew, at least. So...
He's got a film crew.
So y'all, so he's walking around and D-Mark's like, the only focus should be you. Yes, D-Mark, you tell her. But he's like, and you can't tell, you said you've got to be careful with Myla. You can't tell her that about, but you can't be doing this like daddy switching shit.
Yeah, he's the only real voice of reason, the whole thing. And
he's
guess
something
what?
Else of reason too.
He shows Quaylen just walks up and they're just kind of like staring at him because y'all, this was produced. We already knew this was going to happen.
This was the most, they make the same face of what Jake makes when I forget my wallet and I have to come back into his apartment. I'm just like, hi.
It's not like, Quaylen, what are you doing here? How did you know I was here?
Oh my God. I haven't seen you in a month. They literally just like, oh.
Yeah.
It was
the leads in Waiting for Godot at the Branson Community Theater. They are not.
I don't even think they're good enough to go see Pump Boys or be in Pump Boys and Dinettes. And I love that show. You know what? That show better be open when we go to Branson. I am taking you and you're going to
sure
love
it. Is.
You're going to
sure
love
it.
You're eat barbecue and cornbread and watch people sing about pies.
Don't threaten me with a good time. I'm fine with all of that. I like how you're saying you're trying to threaten me. I'm like, yes, I'll do all of that. So D-Mark is like, oh, shit. And of course, he goes over and sits next to her and like puts his arm around her. Kind of like, oh, good. My property. So good to have you back.
Yeah.
And she turns into a schoolgirl. She's like, D-Mark, don't talk to him like that.
Because here's the fucked up thing about Chevelle. Instead of being fucked up and freaked out that somebody stalked her.
How did you find me? Yeah.
She thinks it's sweet. And that means he cares. Y'all.
This is not sweet. This is creepy as fuck.
When men do, or women too, but for you ladies out there, I'm particularly concerned about. When men do grand gestures to impress you when they fucked up, that is not healthy.
This is stalking.
This is stalking. Is
textbook stalking.
Yeah, it's not cool.
Yeah.
I don't even care if Quaylen is good in bed, y'all, because he's good.
I wrote it's down, good. This is scary. They should not be treating this as, Quaylen found us after flying here, and it's just okay. It should make everyone go, creeped out. Yeah.
It kind of, you know, well, maybe he's got that devil dick.
You know what? That doesn't matter. It's still creepy as fuck.
When the demons got you.
When the demons got her. The demons got her.
I hope we see her again.
I think we
will.
Sorry,
I just screamed into the microphone.
Y'all, so Quaden's like, where do we go from here? Which reminded me immediately of that Vanessa Williams
where
song.
Where do we go from here?
Oh, no.
No, I went to We Had It All, You Believed in Me. What is that? What is that song? Where do we go from here? This is how we attempted
you
to
Must
meet.
Love Me.
Thank you, from Evita. Yeah.
I thought it had, where do we go? That from, Vanessa Williams. From here.
Where do we go from here? That one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love Vanessa Williams.
Me too.
And I've heard she's lovely. Anyway, speaking of that devil dick, let's talk about Michael Cera.
Did I tell you the story? I was working with a guy who used to write for Ugly Betty. They were telling her, this was an episode where Vanessa Williams was supposed to be in the, like, a blacker side of town. And they told her they said, can you, and like someone said, like, can you say that a little blacker, like saying, I told you, I don't want no blah, blah, blah. That was the line. And she's like, I told you, I don't want no of this. And they kept doing it and doing it. And she just couldn't do it. She's like, you guys, that's not what I do.
It's not what I do. And now that probably would be it's amazing how progressive that show was.
That would have been so problematic.
And now you would never say that.
I know.
But that is, yeah, because there's different definitions of black, y'all. And Vanessa Williams can speak just the way she is and be just as black as anybody else.
I think they were trying to
Make it comedic, right?
Yeah, they were trying to make it comedic how she would drop into some kind of weird, like, other blackness that she didn't know she had.
Yeah.
And Vanessa Williams, I'm sorry, I can't do that.
Good for her.
I know. I love the idea of trying to get Vanessa Williams to do that. It's just so uncomfortable.
Did you see her on Drag Race Celebrity, though? She took out her extensions. Oh. I died.
I love her so much.
I love her, too. So anyway, speaking of love, y'all, Michael and Sarah, he's going to pull up on her or roll up on. I'm going to start saying that when Kyle says, babe, where are you going? I'm going to roll up on Poodle.
I'm like,
just rolled up. Just makes me think of a fruit roll up. And now I want that.
This is another storyline that has been absolute shit this season. They're not even trying.
I actually believe that Malcolm is an actor and they hired him just to make them. I 100% believe those rumors.
I kind of hate Life After Lockup. I kind of hate it. It's not good.
It's not. It just seems a little. The only one I think is going to be interesting is going to be Puppy and Amber.
The stakes aren't high enough.
And maybe Lacey and Jane and John.
And John.
I get it. The stakes aren't high enough. But with Michael and Sarah, they're trying to work this out. And basically, he just shows up where Sarah says, again, ladies, when a man just comes over to your house.
I think she did invite him. I think she invited him, though.
Oh, wait. Yeah, never mind. I'll get off the sofa. So she said she's happy he got there and met her halfway. She apologized. They apologized in front of the child and said, she's sorry. Please don't act like this. And then I just thought, and he's like, I'm sorry too. And they hug and the child goes away and they kind of smile at each other and flirt. And I thought, this relationship is codependent.
Oh, it's, yeah, so codependent.
It's so codependent. Michael apologizes and he's like, the cycle just got out of whack. And she stares like Sarah said, just don't bring up the past. Stop bringing up the past. Let's talk about what we can do forward and fuck me.
I want to know what you think about this strategy of let's not bring up the past. Y'all, if you've ever been in a relationship, do you know how long that lasts? If you haven't talked about it, if you haven't kind of like processed it and agreed on something, you're going to bring up the past.
Well, you are. I think maybe what Sarah is trying to do from the little I know. Look, sometimes rehashing past things that you both are never going to agree on isn't the most beneficial, because you got to think it's different because they're having kids. So they have, or they have kids. So they have to move forward together in that.
Right.
So there's that bit of me that's like, You're right. If he's just pissing you off when he, because he's reimagining the past to make himself the hero, like you would say, and she's trying to see it kind of realistically, a little bit martyr, but she's trying to see it way more realistic because she's tired and she raised these fucking kids and he wasn't there. So if he, I think what Sarah's trying to do in a way, she's trying to let it go and just say, let's not talk about the past because you're not ever going to do that. And I'm just moving on.
I totally agree with you. I'm just saying between two reasonable adults, this is not possible.
Well, you just said the word reasonable.
I know.
That's not in it. That's not in play here.
Sarah and Michael are both not reasonable. I'm wanting our listeners not to tell someone, let's just not bring up the past again, because that's never going to work.
And do you know that because you said that to guys in your 20s?
No, it's just that you will. I'm like a fucking elephant and I will remember things and I will remind you about them. But especially if we don't talk about them, it's okay if it's processed, if you've gone over it, if you've decided, if you've said, I'm sorry. But I think that most of their past is unaccounted for.
Yes.
And that's the problem. I completely understand why Sarah, to your point, is saying, let's not bring up the past anymore because this is the way you see the world is not the way I see the world. And I don't think either of us are going to meet. So,
but the problem is, if that's the way you want to be, then make your relationship, yeah, be friends, but put more, well, the word that Sarah needs in this is boundaries.
Yep. Totally.
Sarah needs to make boundaries because even the producer said, so where's Michael sleeping? She's like, well, he's not sleeping with me, but I hope he does.
So she does say, and that doesn't mean he's not, we're never making love again. And he's like, that doesn't mean I'm not going to fuck you again. And I'm like,
and this is where.
Like, I hate you right now. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's just so like. 13, and Michael even says, I know she's still in love with me, and I can have sex with Sarah anytime I want.
And guess what? She's kind of telegraphing that.
And you know, he's right, and that's a gross fucking thing to say, but he's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially by not stopping those comments. But when she says, I hate you so much right now, that is her saying, you're making me laugh. You're breaking down my walls. I don't like that. Yeah. Y'all, Sarah needs a fucking intervention. Something bad.
Her
friends or family needs to say, you need to create boundaries with this man. You need to create very specified visits and keep him as your children's father and almost nothing to you.
Because
that's
guess
the
what?
Only way.
You're actually confusing your kids.
Totally.
And you're teaching your daughters that this is how men should treat them.
And he even says to her, well, we were open marriage. She's like, no, you don't understand that term, because he's basically telling her, you can go out and you can fuck a guy. I have the condoms I gave you. And she's like, but him saying that isn't what she's talking about. He still wants to be in a relationship with her.
Yes.
Because I think he's the needy one here. That's what she doesn't understand.
I do think he's
the needy one. She has all the power.
Yeah. She does have all the power, but she doesn't claim it. Own your power. Own that power.
That's one wish I have for so many women out there. And a lot of men. Less straight men, because they already kind of know the power they have. They were given power at birth. But for women, gay men, trans people, y'all know your power and take your power. Jesus.
Speaking of people on the LGBT spectrum, let's talk about Puppy and Amber.
It's their big night out, y'all.
They're good because they're both hotnesses. But this is also painful to watch just on a personal level because,
Puppy's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
I will say this storyline has been my favorite of Life After Lockup.
I agree.
Because it's been juicy. These people are whack. I love everything about them. I love Amber and her craziness. I love Puppy and her fucking codependent self, her tits out. I love her mother, the cigarette that can stand up by itself and breathe.
And I love Amber's friends,
Quintavis and Jamal. Now,
all of them. I'm like, holy
They're at
shit.
Barnacles Sports Bar.
Barnacles sports bar. Y'all, they're going out. They're getting Puppy Neighbor, getting ready to go.
The Barnacles.
They're drinking Crown at home.
Oh, fuck. That was so... Now, I must say, is this gay night at Barnacles Sports Bar?
I think it is. Otherwise...
Are all Amber's friends black gay men?
Yes.
And yes. Yes, okay. Yes.
It's got to be gay night at Barnacles. Otherwise, people are sitting there eating and so on. Carl?
Are we here? Are we in the right place, Carl?
There's a black man kissing another man on the mouth.
Carl, is that legal here? Carl, am I going to get mono looking at them?
Everybody here's got a lot of piercings.
Because Carl's wife is just scared of mono. Not COVID, not anything else, just mono.
Like me, she's scared of MRSA, too.
Yeah, she does. Oh, yeah. And she doesn't understand how you get either of those things.
No.
So they're going
out. Barnacles.
They're in Barnacles. Amber's introducing Puppy to our friends. It first shows them they're getting drunk and drinking. And Amber is like bumping and grinding. She keeps making out with Puppy.
I also want to say that Puppy's titties are so out.
She looks like, great.
To a point where, like, you know, it's like this kind of dress slash bodysuit is she's poured into it.
It's body yaddy. I loved it. Loved it.
She's living for it.
Now, and so Amber's doing sadly what Poodle and I have seen and sadly what Poodle and I have been with.
Ooh. I kind of do what Amber's doing.
Well, but no, I mean, but Amber is that person who's, like Puppy says, she all, when she gets drunk, she gets gay. And when she sobers up, she's straight the next day.
She wants to get gay with me.
Yeah. It's actually sad because I think Amber has, I don't like to use this word a lot, but I kind of think she, or phrase a lot. I think she has a ton of internalized homophobia.
Oh yeah. No, you're totally right. I'm saying I felt a little bit seen when Amber was around the room, when Amber had brought a woman there and she was still talking to all her friends and flirting. Cause I've done that before I've been sorry about it.
Have you really been sorry?
You're right. Even I can't even say I'm sorry about it. I've done it. But I brought people and I felt bad because I saw them kind of like trying to hang out. But when I do bring people, I bring people who can hang because I want to go talk to people.
Well, but you know, Puppy just got out of prison, Poodle, so she doesn't know people.
Fair.
But she is talking to her friends, which seemed really nice. And they're all talking to her about her past relationships, Amber's past relationship. And Jamal's like, I like this bitch. Amber needs to let it go.
Jamal
and be with
and
Puppy.
Quintavis like her. And they
Jamal, like, call me.
Yeah, I was going to say, you would lose your mind in this club.
Oh, boy. They were so, there was like just, oh, they were so cute. And so that's when Puppy, so they, at first Amber gets there and she's hot and heavy, but now she's talking to other people and you see Puppy like, where is she? And she says, you know, Amber plays with my emotions. She kisses me and is all over me, but then she doesn't want to commit to me.
But I will say, in defense of Amber, it's been like a week.
Yeah, but also, but in the same way could also be said that, like, they've been corresponding and talking to them, but like, you're my one. Yes, you're my boo. You're my
agreed,
boo.
Agreed. So but that's jailhouse talk.
I know, but there's a part of you that knows. Is looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It's like how many times have you, like, you're texting, so are you a top? Yes. And then you text again. Are you sure you're a total top? Like, someone, I need you to, like, hold a football in one hand, like a bar of like deodorant soap in the other, and fuck me with your big top dick. Yes, that's me. And then they get
I'm
to your...
so confused about a football and deodorant soap.
Whatever.
Also,
you know
I
what?
I will say top or bottom has absolutely nothing to do with masculinity. So I want you to take that out of your mouth right now.
No, I'm making a point though. I'm okay. making a point. You just didn't let me finish. And then they show up and then they're like, you know, I think I want to maybe bottom tonight. And it's like this shame of just, again, admitting what they want because they feel like what they want is not masculine and they're not a man.
I agree. But that's when I was trying to disabuse you of the notion that.
No, I was making a point. I was making the point, though, but that you are tell that. I think that's the same thing. I think Amber probably communicated something, one thing to Amber, communicated one thing to Puppy. And now, even in prison, and now that she's out, she's like, well, not really. I don't know what that it's one. And it's confusing and it's not going to end well because y'all, I don't imagine Puppy is calm about.
No. And she's super, super hypersensitive about everything like that. Yes. And she thinks Amber's it for her. She's very codependent.
Yes.
This is not the time to fuck with her, which we, it's not, I don't know if she's, I don't know if she was ever an addict before. A Puppy.
Yes, I believe. Well,
oh, okay.
We don't know. We actually
just know she sold drugs.
They're selling drugs.
Amber's working her problem, working her program.
I think so. I think so. Yes, I think so. I think she had to be an addict.
But she's my favorite expression is from Puppy is Amber likes to get drunk and get gay with me.
Which
I'd like to get. I'd like to get gay with Paul Rudd. Could I get him drunk and get gay with him?
Paul Rudd and the Object of My Affection. Don't get me started.
I think like it's a really problematic movie for you to talk about.
But you weren't attracted to him in that movie?
No, Paul Rudd in Clueless. Paul Rudd in anything.
Paul Rudd in anything.
Paul Rudd in Ant-Man.
Fuck me in the Ant-Man suit. I don't care. Just press that button, go wah, 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 and give me that giant ant dick.
Whoa! You know, I've never seen Ant-Man. It's one of the few Paul Rudd movies I haven't seen.
And the second one's good with Evangeline Lilly. She's great.
She's a nightmare.
And Michael Douglas, yeah, I've heard she's horrible.
She's an absolute nightmare in Hollywood, which is why she isn't working. Everyone who's worked with her has an Evangeline Lilly story. This is Evangeline Lilly from Lost, you guys. I'm still shocked she got cast.
Yep. Well, there you
go. Anyway, so
it's time, y'all. I think I'm done with that. Are you done with them?
Yes.
And although Amber is like, our Puppy says, you know what? She's all over me. I'm just going to roll with it. I'm going to get mine tonight. Hopefully things fall into place.
And they close the door. By things fall into place, you mean her mouth falls on her vagina.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's time for Lacey, Shane, and John. And Shane has just come back from, I assume, golfing or something else. Or from work, maybe. And the amount they're having dinner, which looks like a bunch of fries.
Fries.
In a Pyrex dish.
Yes.
That they're just eating fries.
Yes.
Orida. Meal by Orida.
Lacey can't cook. She can just heat things up that are frozen in an oven.
I'm really good at lean cuisine.
Home cooked meal.
So they're sitting there at the table. And the mouth sounds that are coming out of this section is so disturbing. The children are eating. Shane is eating. Lacey's eating with her lips.
Lacey's just trying to keep her lips closed. She can't.
And so then we have this very subtle, kids, what you learn in school today? You're going to have a good time in school today? And kids are like, no. Tell you what you can't do. You can't lie because liars go to hell and they're all disgusting people.
Yeah. Right, kids?
'Cause kids, I grew up having morals.
And then my favorite line is when Lacey said, did you learn that in prison?
Did you learn that in prison? You're with you and your momos.
That was pretty.
Hi, so Shane.
Lacey already knows something's up. She already knows.
She's like, what you learned about morals at work today.
they jump over real quick to John, who's in his house, which his house does look a little
hanging rough. Out with Lloyd.
Lloyd, who's his sponsor, right?
He said his sponsor sometimes. Yeah.
But I love that. That's
Lloyd
good
with dreadlocks.
Sponsor.
Yep.
So nothing is happening.
They burned a grilled cheese, which is an abomination.
It is an abomination.
You scrape that off.
And that's it. They literally don't even have a conversation about anything. It just shows John burning a grilled cheese, eating it with Lloyd.
Yeah, not a lot.
They didn't even talk about Lacey.
A little bit. John says, I just keep thinking about Lacey. I don't have any closure. And Lloyd's like, dude, let's smoke a doobie. I can't talk about any of this.
Yeah.
So the next thing.
And then I don't know if this happened with other people's TV, But it happened with mine where it got a little scramble and Lloyd said, look.
We've always been close like this.
Yeah, we've always been close like this. And you
remember back when we were my cellmate?
Yeah, exactly. And my dad's favorite movie was Back to the Future, and he loved Christopher Lloyd, and that's how I got my name, Lloyd. And if you want, you could back my future. And John says, what? And he's like, I'm not good with sex talk. Just ask Bumblebee. And he says, okay. So then he bends him over the couch and then fucks John. And then
Lloyd fucks John.
John fucks Lloyd.
I did not see that coming.
And then
John did.
John did. In fact, when he came, Lloyd yelled out, Marty! And then my screen went back. Right? Did you see that?
We have to go back to the back door. I got up to get a beverage then, so I missed that. But okay. I'll have to rewind that one.
Yeah, come back and see it. So anyway, we're back in the house with Shane and Lacey.
And she's really pissed at her dad because, like, he betrayed my trust. The way she said betrayed is literally like, he betrayed my trust. It's so weird.
She can't move her mouth.
Then she's like, I don't know. She's like, yeah, I wish you would have told me that blah, blah, blah. And she's like, what do you, and she's like, have you seen him? She's like, no. She was so super like aloof. She's like, no, why haven't I? She's like, I have your baby in me, y'all. But which is never something you want to hear a droopy voice whisper to your ear.
No.
I have your baby in me.
And she cheated on Jump Shane before and went with John anyway. So it's not like she's on this high horse. And she finally says, are we done with this conversation? And John and Shane's like, well, there's nothing to say. And then
she's like, I didn't want to tell him because he can go back to jail.
Jail. And the worst part is there were potatoes left on that table.
I saw them and it really bothered me.
That's the
yeah. And she even says at the end, she's like, if I'm going to contact John, I'll do it. So without any. John, if I'm going to contact John, but the other word, she did pronounce jail with such this kind of like fricative impact. I don't want him to go back to jail. My microphone just spit on it now.
Yeah, that's great.
Jail.
Jail.
Oh, God. What a ridiculous person she is.
She is. She's ridiculous.
Both of them are. All of them are.
They are.
The whole show is ridiculous.
They are. They are. And anyway, that is the show, everybody. That's the show. That is Lalu, everybody. We are.
After lockup to come back, I kind of hate life after lockup.
Well, maybe it'll get better with this new season. It's going to get better with John and Christiana.
Oh, they're posing in their Bonnie and Clyde photos, y'all.
Oh, ready for it. I'm ready for it.
Why does y'all, everyone forget how Bonnie and Clyde wound up? They're criminals.
They are criminals. Go to realitygazepodcast.com, everybody. You can find all of our good stuff. You can come for Poodle and I on Cameo. Again, Valentine's Day is coming up. Get your Civil War letter. Someone just sent me a Cameo today. It's my first Cameo as Carl's wife. We're going to see how this goes. I've never done it before.
Doing deep character cameos.
It's like, I don't know what's happening. So now I'm going
to
do
a Carl. I can't wait to say, what are you going to do with the wig?
I might have to put my cameo on pause this week just because I'm going down to Houston. I can't be in the middle of MD Anderson Hospital while my dad's getting x-ray going, Carl!
What are you going to do? You have to wear a wig. You need to go buy a wig.
You know what? I swear to God, if you do this without a wig... I don't need you to critique me on this. I'm fine. I'm a professional.
When do you have to have it done? I'm sending you a wig ASAP.
You know what? I'm a professional. Don't you worry about it.
You need something. I swear to God, I go above and beyond.
Oh, yes. You're so brave, Poodle. Anyway, y'all, you can find all our links there. Be sure to listen to Bling Empire. All of our interviews with different podcasters, or including Margaret Cho, are up on the Patreon as well. Well, they will be probably by the
Margaret Cho will be up tomorrow. But we've got the episode we did with Add to Cart, the episode we did with Melanie Maras, and also the episode we did with Asian, not Asian.
That's, so we y'all,
that's the only time we've had two straight men on the podcast before. Two straight men. We've had one straight man allowed.
We had Kyle, but Kim's pretty gay, so she balances it out.
Yeah,
she's so like a half straight. That's why we love her. So anyway, y'all, thank you so much for jumping in. We appreciate so much. Go Apple Podcasts. Go leave us a 5-star review. And if you don't know what to write, keep going, Queens.
Keep going, Queens.
And lastly, y'all, have a great week. And we will...
Have a great week.
Week. And we will
Hallelujah later.
Lock me up. Throw away the key. I'm just a prisoner of love. I'm doing time, I'm doing fine. I'm just a prisoner of love.